hour just ahead, the Columbia Broadcasting System will present from New York and from Hollywood the third and fourth in a series of 14 new programs entitled Forecast. Forecast, an adventure in radio futures, bringing you 14 first night performances, 7 from New York, 7 from Hollywood. Each performance the first of a projected series. Forecast, an adventure in novelty, offering Columbia's answer to the ever-present American demand for something new in radio. Forecast, an adventure for listeners, presenting a star-spangled summer full of entertainment. Each broadcast marked for future reference. Forecast number 3 from New York. Danny Kaye, brilliant young comedian, in a new type comedy show entitled When You Were 21, with Jane Cowell, Rush Hughes, Joan Edwards, and Lynn Murray's orchestra. Forecast number 4 from Hollywood, Herbert Marshall in Suspense, written and directed by Alfred Hitchcock. From New York, then, When You Were 21.
When you were 21 and I was 21.
Just think, that was 5 years ago.
21. Oh, that was 55 years ago.
Remember
when you were only over 21.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rush Hughes speaking. Danny Kaye is a young comedian who has caught the fancy of his relatives and a few close friends with a new radio idea. This program is intended to display Danny's idea for your approval. If this idea goes on the air regularly, it will be the only program on the air that depends completely on you. This is a program about the year when you were 21, whether that was 1910, 1920, or 1930. Later on, we'll explain how you yourselves choose the year we broadcast. But tonight, because it was just 21 years ago, we'll imagine that you have chosen 1919. And here we go on a trial run of the year when a lot of you were 21. 21 years ago, last New Year's Eve, bells rang out and whistles howled in the brand new year of 1919. The boys were coming home from France.
Oh, hear those grand hello boys, for the dough boys and the show girls, and the go girls for those meals.
Taxi drivers back from Brooklyn, bank clerks counting coin in Kansas, iron cuddlers cuddling iron in Pittsburgh, huskers husking corn in Iowa, pickers picking fruit in California. Home. Home, sweet home. Wives and sweethearts waiting, and a little amazed at the way the men were talking.
Hello, kid. How's about a promenade boo with me, mademoiselle?
Well, of all things.
Donnie wants some butter, Ma.
Listen to that, Papa. He's a regular Frenchman yet.
Yes, way back in the days when Max said it was a craze. They called Coolidge a boxy gink, and good liquor went down the sink. Stills began to make the gin that will leak easy from a speakeasy, and you sang, sweet Donnie.
Now the eyes of the country swing back from the shores of Europe. High hopes in America for the new peace, but higher prices at home. A quart of milk, 15 cents. A pound of steak, 42 cents. A dozen eggs, 62 cents. 1919. The glamour girls wrap their hair and decorate their dresses with ostrich feathers. A 17-year-old boy wins the Southern Golf Championship. His name, Bobby Jones. A young baseball pitcher in Boston bangs out 29 amazing home runs. His name, Babe Ruth.
Then surely you remember that November when Mrs. Astor and the Pastor and the Bumper and the Drummer came out to greet the Prince of Wales.
The New York skyline is the most wonderful sight I've ever seen. And by the way, I've heard so much about your Bronx. What are they?
And that's the first year Eddie Cantor rolled his eyes and break you Santa for a boy. When your Maxwell or your Briscoe made that hill in San Francisco, oh, what joy! What a toy!
And now, without further delay,
What a man, Danny Kaye.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Danny.
1919, the year of lovely memories. Diamond Jim, Danny Kaye, breakfasting at the casino with Mary Pickford. Better Million, Danny Kaye, driving down Fifth Avenue with Lillian Gish. Sport McAllister, Danny Kaye, supping at Sherry's with Peter Barra. Not a bad day for a kid 4 years old. Yes, my friends, you have guessed the sad, sad truth. I don't have any lovely memories of 1919 except those that came to me from my Uncle Ivan.
In the evening by the moonlight.
Ah, how well I remember at eventide when the purple shades of night were closing. When I'd finished my porridge and my little eyelids were heavy with sleep. Then Uncle Ivan would take me on his knee and tell me the doggonedest lie. He was a liar, Rush. You know, Uncle Ivan was such a liar that when he wanted to feed his own dog, he had to get somebody else to call him. 1919 left a deep scar on Uncle Ivan's memory. Say, wasn't that the year they ratified the Prohibition Amendment?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you know, Uncle Ivan took it as a personal blockade. He broke off relations with Washington and threw a farewell clam bake for his friends. They had Uncle Ivan's favorite dish, warm gin and saltines. He really made a pig of himself, too. Dunking. Ah, lovely memories. A half hour later, we found Uncle Ivan lying flat on his face on the chandelier. This girl picked him off and heaved him right out into the street. Of course, she really shouldn't have done that, but then she didn't know he was drunk. She thought he was dead. Ah, lovely memories. We carried him tenderly back into the house, and as though it were yesterday, I remember how we propped him up under the cold shower. And he sang,
all the world is waiting for the Jewish eyes to take it off.
But now Danny Kaye wants to bring you the man of the year for 1919. How did you pick him, Danny?
Oh, it was easy, Rush. I used a retroactive poll. What is this? Shall I explain a bit about it?
No, never mind. I will. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of record that in 1919 there was a customer strike against barbers in Redlands, California.
Huh?
Price of a haircut went from 25 to 40 cents, and the men of the town refused to get their haircut. This would interest a mind like Danny Kaye.
It did, and Rush, as a matter of fact, I found a man of such steadfast purpose, of such inflexible principle, of such high blood pressure, that I have drafted him for the man of the year of 1919. Rush, my man, is still on strike against the barbers, and I'd like to show you what he's like.
Fine. What's this paragon's name?
Daniel Michael Flattery O'Kaye.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Kaye presents his idea of the man of the year for 1919. Here he is, and still on strike.
I hate barbers. Barbers are my natural enemies. I hate
barbers. Quiet. I never want to talk about the barbers.
Quiet. We can see that you hate barbers, and we'll come back to that in a minute, Mr. O'Kaye. But first, we'll have to ask you to step back from the microphone, about two blocks back.
Right.
You know, Frank Buck's in town for the fair, and if you may run into him, and I wouldn't want to see anything happen to you.
Okay, but don't forget to tell him. Now, I hate barbers.
All right, I'll tell him, Mr. O'Kaye. First, you have to lower your voice to a scream.
I hate Frank Buck, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps it is an order for me to give you a word picture, Mr. O'Kaye. The man of the year of 1919. His hair is about 4 feet long.
4.9 1/4. In me stocking feet.
Oh, I'm sorry. The color... Well, it's hard to get the general effect. What is that color?
Pale brindle brown.
And Mr. O.K.? Mr. O.K. wears his hair in a rather peculiar style.
Yes, that I do. It's in a kind of a droop, you might call it.
Uh-huh. Or a badly frightened mattress. And Mr. O.K. hates barbers.
Oh, I love to hear you talk like that. I love to hear you talk like that. I hate barbers. I hate them. I don't like them at all. I never watched barbers in my whole life.
Thank you. You bet. Now, Mr. O.K., if you will, tell us how this strike started.
Well,
strike started.
Well, sir, back in 1919, I was living in Redlands, California.
Ah, Redlands in 1919. It must have been wonderful there then. All of those lovely redwood trees.
Oh, no, Mr. Hughes. All the redwood trees had been chopped down by vandals at the time.
All gone?
Every one. Confidentially, Mr. Hughes, before I started hating barbers, I hated redwood trees.
Now, try and control yourself, Mr. O.K., and let's get back to the barbers.
Well, it was a beautiful spring morning in 1919. The flowers were blooming. And the pigs were singing. So I go downtown to the barbershop to get a haircut.
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Well, I sit down in the chair, Mr. Hughes, and I'm just about to take off my beret when the barber comes up and behind me and tells me the price of haircuts has gone up to 40 cents. 40 cents! Preposterous!
Why, it's confiscation. It's share the wealth.
That it is, Mr. Hughes. So I tell him my limit's a quarter. But he says, no, a haircut is 40 cents. Now, Mr. Hughes, I'm a reasonable man. So I says, here's a quarter. Don't cut me hair. Just bend it up at the edges, and when I get home, I'll break it off myself.
And he wouldn't even do that?
Ah, that he wouldn't. He was a recalcitrant for passing.
What? A what?
A stinking recalcitrant for passing. I never get the dancing right.
I didn't know they'd gotten that far west, but tell me, what did you do after that, Mr. O.K.?
I struck. I hate barbers. I don't like barbers.
Now. Was the strike a success?
Well, at first it was a success, Mr. Hughes. All the other men in town joined up with me. I tell you, we picketed them good. Then what happened? One by one, the other boys began to drop out. Their wives got after them.
And you, I take it, are not married.
Oh, indeed I am, Mr. Hughes. I got the sweetest, prettiest little wife in the whole wide world.
And she doesn't object to your hair being that long?
Oh, no, Mr. Hughes. It's the other way around. You see, she's bald-headed.
Yeah?
And I start to cover up for her.
Oh, I see.
Well, you know, when me and me wife's out together, you got to stop and study before you can see what's what.
All right, to get back again to the strike, Mr. O.K., it failed.
Yes, that it did, Mr. Hughes. One by one, the other boys had dropped out. And there was no one left in the picket line except me and me dog.
Oh, you have a dog.
Oh, grand beast he is, too. One of them hairless Mexican dogs. You got to stop and study when you see us, too.
Well, Mr. O.K., I'm sure it's been very disconcerting having you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Hugh.
But the years move on. Life is still before you. Why stay on strike any longer? After all, that was 21 years ago. Look at all these people out here in the audience. They've all got haircuts.
Stare! I hate haircuts. Haircuts of the world unite. Down with the scissors and up with the hair.
Ladies and gentlemen, was the man of the year for 1919 as waltzed up for us by Danny Kaye. And now, Lynn Murray and the orchestra may jog a memory or two with that 1919 killer diller, Hindustan.
I met her.
wonderful, Len, wonderful. It certainly doesn't seem possible that Hindustan is 21 years old, or does it? By the way, what was happening to you when Hindustan was a new hit tune? That's one of the things this program plans to find out when, and if we get a chance. We plan to offer two prizes each week for letters telling us what happened to you when you were 21. One prize for women and one prize for men. This week, we'll imagine the women's prize goes to Mrs. John Doe of New Canaan, Connecticut. Our imaginary Mrs. Doe has written a most remarkable letter, we find, one that requires a more impressive reading than yours truly could possibly hope to give it. And so, for the deserving words of the prize-winning letter, we provide a lovely voice and present a lovely lady. 1919 and 1940 would agree that the lady of our choice belongs in the topmost rank among American actresses of any year. In 1919, she had just recently achieved her first great fame in Within the Law and was helping to write a play that in 1920 was to establish her securely as a notable young actress. The play, Smiling Through. In 1940, she was playing Shaw's comedy, Captain Brassbound's Conversion, in summer theaters, preparatory to a theater guild revival in the fall. The lovely lady of our letter is, of course, Jane Cowell. And here is Miss Cowell with a prize-winning letter.
1919, the year when I was 21. John that year was 23. That was the year, that was the spring, we planted the white magnolia tree. Oh, young and wild and aflame were we when we planted the white magnolia tree. This, he said, shall be our tree, and every year it will bloom anew. This is our life. This is our love. And the white magnolia grew and grew. Oh, youth's a thing of fire and ice, and currents that run hot and white, and its world is as bright as the sun. I was 21, and I wore a plume in my hat, and we went to the movies and wept over broken blossoms. And then we booked passage on a sightseeing bus, and John sang Love Sends a Little Gift of Roses. A little off-key, but it was very nice indeed. There's so much the young heart clamors for. This it must have, and that it cannot live without, and it must be all or nothing. For aren't we the masters of creation? Valiant and untamed were we when we planted the white magnolia tree. And the white magnolia grew and grew, holding our love within its core. And every year it bloomed anew. And we were 21, no more. No more enchanted, no more so free, not so young, not so wild in the flame were we. Dearer to us then grew the lesser things, easy sleep, books, a day's quiet holiday, good talk beside a fire, the beauty of old faces. There's so little the serious heart requires. Friends, a window open to the world, pride in work well done, and strength to live in a world at war, and still maintain the heart's own private peace. Dear heaven, I give thanks to thee for the things I didn't know before, and for wisdom and maturity, for bread and a roof, and for one thing more. Thanks because I still can see the bloom on the white magnolia tree.
Class of 1919 hereby extends to Miss Jane Cowell a rising vote of thanks. And now, Joan Edwards, our singing star, continues in the broad 1919 groove with a few 1940 touches to Love Sends a Little Gift of Roses.
Love sends a little gift of roses, breathing a prayer unto my posy. Closes, asking this only. tender. Two eyes to glow with love's own splendor. Two lips to give in sweet surrender. Just a kiss, just a kiss. Take thou my gift, my offering of roses, culled from my garden, sweet with twilight dew. If just one flower upon your breast reposes, life shall forever hold no rose but you. A little tender.
Oh, give me two eyes.
Two eyes to glow with love's own splendor.
Two lips to give in sweet surrender.
Just a kiss.
Just a kiss.
One heart to grow. Two eyes to glow. Two lips to give in sweet surrender.
Just a kiss of love.
Beautifully sung, Jones.
Thank you, Rush.
Now for the second prize letter. The prize for the best man's letter goes to Mr. George Spelvin of Detroit. With the author's permission, we shall dramatize this letter, and Danny Kaye will play the part of George Spelvin. Is that right, Danny?
All right, Rush, as long as you read the serious part.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's begin. Dear Danny Kaye, I was 21 in 1919 when Kaiser Bill threw me out of a job by deciding to call it a day. So I hit out west looking for work and landed in Toledo, Ohio, the day of the Dempsey-Willard fight. It was the 4th of July and blazing hot. I tramped all the way down to the fight arena, and I got a job selling lemonade. Well, the fight went like this.
Ice cold lemonade, 25 cents. Ice cold lemonade, 17 cents. Ice cold lemonade, 3 cents.
Soldier, give me a 3-cent lemonade.
Here you are, man.
This doesn't taste like lemonade. It tastes like clam juice.
It does. Get your ice cold clam juice here. 1/4, get your ice cold clam juice.
Hey, buddy, I'll have some of that clam juice.
Hey, yeah, man.
Wait a minute. This ain't clam juice.
It is too clam juice.
Lemonade.
Clam juice.
Lemonade.
Clam juice.
Lemonade.
Clam juice.
Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade. Lemonade.
Say, lady, that's a very interesting lemon peel you got there.
Oh, really? Am I going to take a sea voyage?
No, ma'am. According to my calculations and vibrations, in 2 years from now, you'll be playing shortstop for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Ice cold shortstops. Get your ice cold shortstops. Ice cold.
Round two. Word was almost through.
Hey, George Spelman.
Well, I'll be just... Hiya, Bill. What are you doing up here?
What do you think, dummy? I'm working in Stempsey's second.
Well, good old Bill.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember Suzette from Marseilles?
You mean that big fat horse?
Yeah.
Why, sure. She's the only woman I ever saw with cauliflower ears.
I married her.
Well, on her, they look good. Is she here now, Bill?
No, she's in training. I got to match the fight Dempsey next month. Hey, what are you doing selling lemonade?
Well, it's the only job I can find.
Hey, maybe I can help you. Would you like to be one of Dempsey's seconds?
Sure. What do I do?
Hey, just hop in the ring between rounds and slap him in the face with a wet towel.
After what he just did to Willard, I should slap him in the face? Get your empty paper cups here. Get your empty paper cups here. Souvenir of the paper.
Sidelights from 1919, the year when you and George Spelvin were 21. It's time to leave now, but here's hoping we'll be back again. We haven't touched on a quarter of the things that happened in 1919, and every other year from the 1880s to the brand new 1940s is crammed full of songs, laughter, and memories of a time when you were 21. So good night now from yours truly, Rush Hughes, Lynn Murray, Joan Edwards, and last but not least, Danny Kaye.
When you were only all of 21.
And that's When You Were 21, a new sort of comedy program providing, we think, an admirable vehicle for that wholly admirable newcomer, Danny Kaye. If you liked When You Were 21, write to CBS and tell us why you would like to hear a regular series of such programs. Your interest will help bring the show to the air as a weekly feature. When You Were 21 was written by Eddie Foreman, Nathaniel Curtis, and Sylvia Fine, and directed by Brewster Morgan. Stay tuned to this station for the fourth forecast presentation. Herbert Marshall in Suspense, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, to be heard immediately following station identification. Your announcer is John Tillman. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.